and welcome to another episode of The Goodnight Show with me, your host, Daniel Van Kirk. It is Wednesday, June 24th, around 12 a.m., Rochelle, Illinois time, and I am glad that you are here. I'm especially glad because I'm still riding solo. I'm out on the road, making my way back to Los Angeles. I will tell you all about it this Friday, or at least what I'm doing it for. But Noah is not here just due to the technical limitations that I have of recording on the road. I am not able to loop him in the way that we like to do, but that's okay. I would say that, this past weekend and the past couple nights of doing this, I've missed him. I wouldn't be able to do the show without him. So Noah, if you're listening to this, can't wait to have you back, buddy. But on the other hand, I think it proved that if for any reason Noah has something come up or I have to record on the fly like this, we won't go without episodes. I can always jump in and do it. And you know what? It is a little bit of a different vibe because it's literally I'm just talking to you. But that's also been nice. And if you've dug it or you thought like, hey, this still worked, let me know. As always, if you don't let me know that, I will assume it was meh for you. Maybe you could take it either way. I don't know. I'm just trying to limit the amount we say negative things to each other without reason. Trust me. I'm all for saying negative things that need to be said. I've enjoyed doing this. I've kind of liked the dynamic of assuming you're out there and just talking right to you. Also, I'll tell you this. This is a great segue. It really makes me want to hear from you. It makes me want to hear that feedback about the days of the week that we covered, about last night when we talked about all of the most nominated actors for Oscars and their wins and all the movies I haven't seen and everything we ran down in the pop culture history and all that stuff. So it does kind of put that a little bit more into my feelings when I say hit me up. And earlier, a few seconds ago, I called this a great segue. Here's why. Because here's how you can do just that. You can email me at thegoodnightpod@gmail.com. You can also call me at 609-644-4855. That's 609-NIGHT-55. And like I just said, that's all the way to give me feedback. But there's also plenty of ways to use that to contribute. For example, maybe you have a sex and relationship advice question you want to hit me up with. Do it. Let me know what you're going through. Talk to me as if we were friends. I mean, I'm sure we must be kind of friendly, right? Because I don't know how much you would hate listen to a show like The Goodnight Show. But we also don't know each other personally, in depth. But I'm happy, at least in the context of saying, hey, Dan, you seem like an all right person. Here's what I'm going through. Well, hit me up with that stuff. Any sort of sex and relationship. It could be very, not spicy to super quote unquote out there. Either way, I'm good with it. Don't be afraid because I'm here for you. Also, you can give me some recommendations for things to read and watch, or you can send me your positive stories. This is the thing I love. Every Friday, we do the Positive Push Fridays where we hear from you and the things in your life that are bringing you joy, that have made you happy, that have made you proud, that put a little happiness into your walk. Maybe it's you, maybe it's someone that you love, somebody in your life, maybe it's a family member, maybe a best friend, maybe a family member that is a best friend or a best friend that feels like a family member. Whatever it is, call me and leave a voicemail. That's my favorite way to get positive stories. But also you could email thegoodnightpod@gmail.com or text to that number, 609-NIGHT-55. That's 609-644-4855. Okay, it's Wednesday, which means we are doing a mystery. We rotate those all the time. So it can be a back page edition, which is the sex and relationship advice stuff. It could be a mystery like it is today. It could also be an interview. I think our most recent interview was with the great Kyle Ayers. Go back and listen to that if you haven't. Really fun, fun guy and fun time. But today is a mystery. Now, I like going through this mystery with you guys. So I haven't read this at all, which means a couple of things. One, I think that makes it fun. Two, probably a lot of words I'm going to mispronounce, but I will try my best. The sources for this come from the FBI.gov page. Is that official? Can't tell. It also comes from history.com and seattlemag.com. That would be our secondary source, our primary, the first two, history.com and FBI.gov. We are talking about the D.B. Cooper hijacking. Okay? Here we go. Now, I've heard about this, so maybe I won't do too bad at it, but we're going to find out. Sorry as I move this mic around. On the afternoon of November 24th, 1971, a nondescript man, feels like some shade, calling himself Dan Cooper, approached the counter at Northwest Orient, feels problematic, Airlines in Portland, Oregon. Although I heard once, people are from Asia, things are Oriental. Has that been outdated? You just let me know that and understand I'm not saying it in a mean way. But I feel like a designer said that to me once, but that doesn't mean that designer's a good person. Okay. So nondescript guy, hope that's not on his Tinder profile, approached the counter of Northwest Orient Airlines in Portland, Oregon. He used cash to buy a one-way ticket on flight number 305 bound for Seattle, Washington. D.B. Cooper hijacked the commercial plane and later parachuted out of the aircraft with the ransom money. We're covering a lot of bases here. An extensive manhunt ensued, but the hijacker was never identified or caught. It is the only unsolved hijacking case in the history of commercial aviation that feels global and one of the greatest unsolved mysteries in U.S. history. I guarantee you Robert Stack has talked about this. Robert Stack, for those who don't know, Unsolved Mysteries. I think you can watch it on Hulu. It's a scary show. There's like a whole generation of murderinos who got their start watching Unsolved Mysteries, and you know who you are right now as I'm talking to you. Unsolved Mysteries scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. And then they would always do these like update, and you'd find out that like they caught the guy who killed his wife, which also kind of sounds like every 2020. There's a pattern. So D.B. Cooper, if that's even his real name, hijacked a plane. Only person ever in the history of commercial aviation, ever since they were selling tickets to ride in a prop plane. First one to get away with it, as far as we know. Here's what happened. Probably some more detail than what I just said. Cooper was a quiet man, very undescript, some would even say, who appeared to be in his mid-40s, wearing a business suit with a black tie and white shirt. He ordered a drink, bourbon and soda, I can get behind that. And while the flight was waiting to take off. A short time after 3 p.m., he handed the stewardess a note indicating that he had a bomb in his briefcase and wanted her to sit with him. Okay, first off, if you don't remember the date, I said this took place on November 24th, 1971. I am so curious. This is when I need Noah. How close is that to Thanksgiving 1971? It's in the final week, right? Of the month. So you figure it's got to be within 4 days at least of Thanksgiving. You know, these flight attendants got on the plane and were like, ugh, here come the holidays. I'd rather we just got hijacked. Well, if that happened, they got their wish. Also, you asked the lady to sit down with you. Let's see what happens here. Okay, so he orders a drink while the flight was waiting to take off. Bourbon soda. A short time after 3 p.m., he handed the stewardess, let's say flight attendant, a note indicating that he had a bomb in his briefcase and wanted her to sit with him. That's toxic. The stunned stewardess, flight attendant, did as she was told, opening a cheap attaché case. Cooper showed her a glimpse of a mass of wires and red-colored sticks and demanded that she write down what he told her. Soon, she was walking a new note to the captain of the plane and demanded 4 parachutes and $200,000 in $20 bills. When the flight landed in Seattle, the hijacker exchanged the flight's 36 passengers for the money and the parachutes. Oh, so this happened in the air. Cooper kept several crew members, and I'm saying what happened in the air was the whole note, sit with me for a second moment. Cooper kept several crew members and the plane took off again ordered to set a course for Mexico City. I feel like there's more details here, but this is what they give us over at FBI.gov. When the flight landed in Seattle, DB Cooper exchanged the flight's 36 passengers for money and parachutes. So they had the money waiting for him in Seattle. And then he kept several crew members. And then the plane that landed in Seattle from Portland took off again. Did they refuel? Because you wouldn't probably take more than what you need unless you were already, like, let's say it was like stopping in Seattle on its way to Atlanta or something like that. And he ordered them to set a course for Mexico City. Somewhere between Seattle and Reno, a little after 8 p.m., the hijacker did the incredible. He jumped out of the back of the plane with a parachute and the ransom money. The pilots landed safely, but Cooper had disappeared into the night, and his ultimate fate remains a mystery until this day. Or till this day. Beyond today. That's crazy. All right, we're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, we are going to dig into the investigation plus so much more about DB Cooper. I want to tell you about High Noon Hard Seltzer made with real vodka and real juice, because there's a lot of fake out there, but things just got real. High Noon Sun Sips are the easy drinking, great tasting, sun toasting, blue sky celebrating, memory making awesomeness in a can. Hard seltzers can be made from just about any mixture of soda water and alcohol. Some brands use malt liquors and sugar to flavor their drinks, but High Noon uses real vodka and real fruit juice for 100 calories of easy drinking, take anywhere deliciousness. High Noon Sun Sips are offered in 4 refreshing flavors: grapefruit, pineapple, black cherry, and watermelon, and the juice in each High Noon Sun Sip is real. They use a mix of juices to make each flavor, but everything comes from real fruit. High Noon Sun Sips come in packs of 4 and a variety 12 pack, and on their website you can search for places near you to buy High Noon with their Where to Buy page. You can also check out your favorite grocery store, liquor store, or stay safe and practice distance socializing by checking with your preferred alcohol delivery service. High Noon is currently available in 32 states, but if they're not available where you are, contact them and see how they can help. So check out highnoonspirits.com and enjoy responsibly. High Noon Hard Seltzer, things just got real. Hey, we're back. I didn't say this yet up top in the episode. Thank you so much for sticking with us here at the Good Night Show. Thank you also for listening. If I can do a little quick plug, I wasn't planning on this, but we are an independent show. So if you feel that you have the means, I would really encourage you to check out our Patreon. I say it at the end of every show, but I know some people, if you're like me, you start tuning out once the good content's all done. You should listen every once in a while, though, because I thank the people who make this happen. But also, I let you know about our Patreon. Here's what happens on the Patreon. Let's say there's an interview on a Wednesday. Then that weekend, you get a back page and a mystery. Every weekend, you get one of those things. You know, if one of them dropped like today, there isn't going to be a mystery this coming weekend, but there is going to be a back page edition. Plus, you get access to the Hindsight Podcast, which is a podcast I did for like 4 years. It's great. Comedians bring me like 3 pictures from any chapter of their life, and we just talk about the context of their life when that picture was taken. You'll be able to listen to all those episodes and see all the posts from the pictures that they shared. Pretty great. Also, you'll get like a super cut of this entire week's worth of shows. So if you're somebody who's like, I listen to the Good Night Show once a week, I just like all the content. Guess what? You might have to wait till the end of the week, but you'll get the whole thing strung together for you. And you'll just have it in one file if you want it. The most expensive option to get everything I just listed is less than $10 a month. And all the money goes to helping this show stay on the air. That's it. So even at the base level, which I think is $5, if you look at it that way, for $5, you're getting extra content and I guess it's currently free, but if you want to look at it this way, for $5, you're getting like, I don't know, what is that? 20 episodes a month? I don't know. Just something to think about. 20 episodes minimum. That doesn't even include the Patreon stuff. So, okay, here we go. So this DB Cooper, this is the first mystery I thought of. I didn't know everything about it. But when we talked about doing the mystery editions, this is what I was like one of the first stories I ever thought of. And if Noah was here, and I wish he was, he could attest to that. Okay, so let's dig into the investigation. Part one. I don't know what that means. D.B. Cooper had taken his ransom note back from the flight attendant, so investigators were unable to examine it. Smart. He did leave a few traces behind, though. Some cigarette butts, a hair on the headrest of his seat, and a clip-on necktie. Oh, buddy. Which he tore from his collar before hurling himself from the plane. Ultimately, the FBI could not get any fingerprints from the items. Though it was initially believed that Cooper was a battle scarred, like he was like airborne, like in, I mean, 71, he's in his 40s, and that's at least, that could be Vietnam, that could be Korean War, I don't know. Though it was initially believed that Cooper was a battle-scarred skydiver, perhaps a paratrooper, yeah, see, I didn't even read ahead, guys, further analysis found that he was likely no expert. No experienced parachutist would have jumped in the pitch-black night in the rain with a 200-mile-an-hour wind in his face, wearing loafers and a trench coat, said FBI Special Agent Larry Carr in 2007. But I say this, Larry Carr, may be one of the most experienced parachute persons, a parachuter would jump from a plane wearing loafers and a trench coat in all of those conditions. Maybe that shows just how BA he is. Investigators also thought Cooper acted alone. If he had worked with an accomplice, he would have requested a much more specific flight path rather than saying fly to Mexico and jumping out when visibility was poor. Yeah, unless he knew which way they were going to go. Many speculate that Cooper, who was outfitted in a business suit, trench coat, and loafers, did not survive. At that altitude, the winds were more than 200 miles per hour, and the parachute he used could not be steered. In addition, he would have landed in a rugged, heavily wooded area. The FBI learned of the crime in flight and immediately opened an extensive investigation that lasted many years, calling it NORJAC for the Northwest Hijacking. Clever. They interviewed hundreds of people, tracked leads across the nation, and scoured the aircraft for evidence. By the five-year anniversary of the hijacking, they had considered more than 800 suspects and eliminated all but two dozen from consideration. So here now are the primary suspects. Richard Floyd McCoy. McCoy is still a favorite suspect among many. The FBI tracked down and arrested McCoy for a similar airplane hijacking and escape by parachute less than 5 months after Cooper's flight, which would mean if he did do it, that dude lived. Tell him not to jump out of a plane in loafers. But McCoy was later ruled out because he didn't match the nearly identical physical descriptions of Cooper provided by two flight attendants. So two independent witnesses gave an exact description of the man. He didn't match either one of those. McCoy Jr. was convicted. Is he a junior? All of a sudden that just jumps in there with a junior. McCoy Jr. was convicted of air piracy for his previous hijacking and received a 45-year prison sentence. On August 10th, 1974, however, he and some fellow inmates hijacked a garbage truck and escaped. This dude, he's all about hijacking. And escaped their Pennsylvania penitentiary. When the FBI finally tracked McCoy down in Virginia 3 months later, a shootout left him dead. The next suspect is Robert Rackstraw. If that's not a name you say in an Improv 101 class, what are we doing? Robert Rackstraw, a pilot and former paratrooper, got the creds, had a whole lot going on. Doesn't that sound like the opening to a classic novel? Robert Rackstraw, a pilot and former paratrooper, had a whole lot going on. Grand theft, $75,000 worth of bad checks, and the possible murder of his stepfather were just a few of the infractions, that is underselling it, for which authorities nabbed him. After being acquitted of the murder charge, Rackstraw saw fit to fake his own death in 1978 by logging a false mayday call from a rented plane in Northern California. He spent 2 years in prison for check fraud and theft of an aircraft. In the 2016 book, The Last Master Outlaw, there was presented evidence that was gathered during a five-year investigation into Rackstraw's past. It concluded he was the legendary hijacker, a claim Rackstraw's lawyer called the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Also, he's his lawyer. What should he say? That sounds about right. Rackstraw died from a heart condition on July 9th, 2019. I feel like if he knew he was going, he would have said it. Kenneth Christensen, is another suspect. Christensen had a more direct link to the Cooper incident. He had worked for Northwest, the hijacked airline, as a mechanic, flight attendant, and purser. Kenneth's brother, Lyle, claims that when Kenneth was on his deathbed in 1994, he said, "There's something you should know, but I cannot tell you." Oh, that's a dick move. Kenneth had been a military paratrooper. The year after the D.B. Cooper hijacking, despite being on a modest flight attendant salary, he bought a house in cash. Kenneth. Here's my question, though. As he runs his words together, here's my question, though. Does Kenneth even look like the guy? Can't we ask these flight attendants? Investigation part two. Start to wrap this up. After years of dead-end leads, investigators received a break in 1980 when 8-year-old Brian Ingram found a decaying package containing $5,800. It was buried along the Columbia River. The serial numbers of the money, all of which were $20 bills, matched those of the ransom. This dude lived. However, following extensive search, nothing further was discovered. Although the FBI continued to receive tips, in 2016, the agency officially closed its investigation, stating that its resources could best be used on other cases. And a lot of bad things happened in 2016. One really good thing happened, though. Cubs. World Series. Here's some additional information. In the wake of the hijacking, the Federal Aviation Administration ordered that all Boeing 727 aircrafts must have Cooper vanes installed. A Cooper vane is a small latch fitted to the outside of all planes with rear stairs. The latch prevents anyone from opening the door mid-flight, just as D.B. Cooper did. A reporter named James Long confused the name of an early suspect, D.B. Cooper, with that of the hijacker's pseudonym, Dan Cooper. The suspect was quickly eliminated, but the media had already latched onto the error. Thus, the moniker D.B. Cooper became lodged into the public's collective memory. Oh, okay, so that's how that happened. 6 years after 8-year-old Brian Ingram discovered the $5,800 in the Columbia River, the FBI allowed him to keep $2,760 of it. In 2008, he sold 15 of the fragmented... Oh, this is great. This is the best way to end this. Noah, if you put this together, whoever did, bless you. Okay, I'm going to read this again because it's really fun. 6 years after 8-year-old Brian Ingram discovered the $5,800 in the Columbia River, the FBI allowed him to keep $2,760 of it. In 2008, he sold 15 of the fragmented $20 bills at auction for, this is a little dumb people townish, I know, but how much money, and I'm sorry if you're trying to go to sleep because you're up. If you're with me, you're up right now. He sold 15 of the $20 bills at auction. Now look, they gave him $2,760 of the actual money. They could have said, this is evidence, but we will give you this amount of money in exchange for doing the good deed. Also, how they came up with $2,760 is that half? Look how crazy I am. No, that's not even half, is it? Who cares? Well, now I have to know. That's not half. Is that half? I'm really sorry. I'll look it up after we're done. Okay. So they give him $2,700. 2,700 times two. 14. No, it's not half. They give him $2,700. In 2008, he sold 15 of the bills, of the $20 bills, at auction for $37,433.38. That's 15 of the bills. God bless you, Brian Ingram. Tonight's episode of The Good Night Show was produced by Noah Eberhardt, and I miss him. It was engineered and mixed by Brendan Lynch Solomon, with production assistance from Ben Zyper and Lissa Rubin. The theme music was composed by Chad Bouchard, and the artwork was created by CM Dugan. You can check out more of his work at cmdugan.com. If you enjoyed tonight's show, you can get more content just like this and other great things at patreon.com/thegoodnightshow. There you can sign up for The Good Night Show Weekend Edition, as well as exclusive episodes of some of our favorite topics. Plus, you can get a supercut of this entire week's worth of shows, as well as access to the entire back catalog of the Hindsight Podcast. I already told you all this. There are three Patreon tiers, and the most expensive option is less than $10 a month. You know this by now. join up. The GoodNet Show is not part of any network, so all proceeds go directly to the costs and people that keep this show on the air. That means your support really does matter, and it means it is greatly appreciated. One way to support is to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell everyone you know about this little show. Thank you again for listening. I'm Daniel Van Kirk, and remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Good night.